So good to be here tonight, and I so appreciate you taking the time, especially the guys. I would encourage the guys to call the brothers who've been away, call our old friends, call the ones who kind of disillusioned, disgruntled, anything that's dis. encourage them to come out. We'll have a fantastic time tomorrow. As far as I'm concerned, we can just keep doing those songs for the rest of the week. Those are just fabulous. John chapter 12. Of course, for Steven and my brothers back there, so appreciate it. We had a couple of the young ladies. Was it something else?
It was the tiniest font I've ever seen.
It was the whole chapter in one little.
It was.
Yeah. You know, if you look at, so we're beginning, if you have a Bible, so help me out there, with verse 20. John chapter 12, verse 20. We can read along, whether we have or not. It's cool. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. This is going to be, of course, the Passover feast. And they came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "We would see Jesus." And Philip cometh and tells Andrew, and again Andrew, Philip tells Jesus, and Jesus answers them, saying, beautiful, like he does, though it's a crazy answer, odd. "The hour has come," just so I don't have to come back to it. It was truly his moment, this final week of his life. But an hour, just for us, my brothers and sisters, is 42 years in Bible time. 42 is a number of a generation. This is a generational thing he is declaring and sharing here. They couldn't hear that, of course, but let us tonight. That the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, double enunciation. I say unto you, we saw it this morning, unless a kernel of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth fruit. He's talking about himself. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that loveth his life, he that hateth his life in this world and keep it will keep it unto eternal life. It's just simply loving our lives less than loving him. It's a simple word. Verse 26 will be our text in a moment. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there also my servant shall be. What a present tense verb he uses, am. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now, as my soul troubled, shall I say, Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause, I came into this hour. Father, glorify that name. Let's pray. Father, thank you so for, again, this morning, this tonight, but especially where we are in this time period, in the historical measuring of our God, and the great restoration of your ultimate intention, what you're intending and are doing this day. Father, pray that we re-grip the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, as I shared this morning, especially tonight. I believe tonight we're this special group of people is here, and you're saying things specifically to us. Others will hear, others will know, but it's for us tonight. So I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I love this because I believe without question, the answer or the question of the world is here. The Gentiles or the Greeks represent the world. They're unbelievers. And even though I sometimes think that they're not interested in him, deep in the heart of the unbeliever is the desire to see him. Now, please, the language is amazing to me because they've heard him. They've certainly read him on every sign that we can use, every bumper stick we've ever had, every shirt, towel, hat. I'm not against any of that. But that's not the thing that's convincing them. They're looking to see him. And so Jesus is this, ultimately, this revelation of the invisible kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, excuse me, and kingdom of God revealed. He is the revelation of the hidden God, the person of Jesus Christ. And so when they come to ask him this, he is literally saying, and he's talking about his own death, of course, and he has to die. But I realize this, though. In our death, it's a great thing when a man dies or a woman dies in the kingdom because certain things reap back to our families, certain things reap back to the world. My prayers never cease. It's beautiful. But the truth is, though, me dead does not help my family, my neighbors, the guy at Starbucks, the guy at Publix, the guy over here at Kroger's, the lady, the people that run that I encounter in my life. Me living is the key for them. There's no way for them to see Jesus if I'm in the grave. So there's a dichotomy here. It's true. He is talking about that one day there's a death, but the reality is, though, the only way he's ever going to be seen is something about Jay LaRue, about us, has to visually present him. Now, I wish I can grow my hair long and grow a beard and wear a long cloak and walk around quoting scripture, but I don't think that's exactly what he's saying. The kingdom of heaven is the unveiling of the nature, character, disposition of the invisible God. Jesus reveals him. That's what they're looking for. There's only one people group in the entire world that can do that. And it's his bride, it's his body, it's you and I who have the divine seed in us. Truly the potential, the fullness of Christ in each one of us. Can you imagine what kind of church it would be if we all continued to grow to a place where the fullness of Christ was in all of us? What a demonstration of it. What would that be like? I believe the world would be knocking on the door to come in this room. So I have a goal, if you will. I think it's all of our goal. Not to be a good prophet or apostle or good pastor. Not even to be a good husband. I realize if I get the fullness of Christ, I become a good husband. I know that because I remember when I didn't have much of him, I was not a very good husband. And the more I got, the better I became. Anyone here in this room? Yeah, same thing. I was a better neighbor, better brother, better everything. He was the thing that made me better. I don't mind self-help books. I think those are all good. But I realize, though, it's the Christ that really changes me. Absolutely. And it's the Christ that really makes a difference. Absolutely. So he begins to say this to them. They're all, I'm sure Philip and Andrew are scratching their heads going, couldn't you just go over there and see them? What does this mean? They didn't really understand it. And I love when he talks like this. So he says this, if any man follow me, in 25th verse, amazing. I got to look at this word just a little bit this morning because it's so key. When he uses this word, there's three words for follow. And really, this is the particular thing that I would share with only interested people, really, because this is an amazing word. But the first time he uses it, he calls Philip, who's going to be his first follower. When he says to Philip, follow me, in John 1, it means get in line. You remember in Acts chapter 2, we got this amazing move of God, 5,000, that's my dream, by the way. That's what I believe is real evangelism, 5,000 saved in a day. What they did was they were believers. You know what believers do? They follow. But what I love what Jesus says to them, get in line. I've been in line at the airport. I've been 500 people down from the end. I've been third. But when you're in the line, it doesn't really matter where you are. You just choose your place in the line. You get there when you want. There's no pressure. Followers, believers, I love that. But believers will never really unveil the Christ. So when he calls Peter, he says to Peter, after he sees, it's a little while, and he sees Peter and Andrew fishing, he says to Peter, follow me. The word he uses there is be my disciple. See, I believe something about this church, and that's why you're here tonight. These are your disciples. What is a disciple different than a follower? A disciple has decided, I didn't become a disciple. I was a believer at 22, and probably around 24, 25 years old, I really made the decision, you know what? I'm going to be a student of the Word of God. I'm going to be a pupil. That's what disciple means. I'm going to submit myself to leadership, which I never did. I was against leaders. I don't think we needed them. Yeah, that doesn't work out really well, I found out. And so I began to submit myself, and especially when I went to Bible college, I made a decision, and there's levels of discipleship. I made a decision, I'm going to be a disciple. You're here tonight, though, and even this morning, as we're learning, because we want to apply what we understand about this Christ life to our lives. True? I'm forever a student. No matter what's that, they can't give me any more letters behind my name. I can't. I'm still writing. There's nothing you can do more. I'm going to always be a disciple. But Jesus uses a different word here. It's interesting, and I'm glad you're going back to the book of Acts, because we find these disciples, believers in Acts chapter 2, disciples in Acts chapter 6, that's 6 years later. But 13 years later in the book of Acts chapter 11, I didn't want to read it, we find a new person. In Antioch, the people of the way were first called, you remember, Christians. Well, the word they used there is interesting, because Antioch was the slave capital of the world. It was a derogatory word to them. They watched these people of the way walking around, and they looked at them and they thought, you know what? You know what you people are? You're slaves of that Christ. Well, the people of the way looked and they thought, wow, really? We were just kind of walking around doing what we thought was the right thing. That's what you see in us? Wow. Now, Jesus uses this word here. Because there's a difference between a believer, a disciple, and someone who's demonstrating something that the lost look at and say, you know what? I could tell you, I know something about you. You belong to that Christ. He owns you. Man, I would be like, you see that? Because you know this though. The Lord's slave is a free man.
That's right.
That's the difference in this kingdom. The more he owns me, the freer I am. And that's not really good for a lot of people, I don't think. I don't think they want me to be any more freer, but I want you to know right now, I want to be his prisoner, not just his slave. I want to be his prisoner because this boy is going to be a free man. You okay with that? So Jesus says, listen, if any man follow me, here's his word. To be wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, wholly conformed to my way of living in this life, or if absolutely necessary, in death. It's not about the death. It's about the life. It's about the living. And so he's saying this. And when I first read this, because he's about to say something here that altered my life, though. I made such a change when I was probably 27, 20 years old when I saw this. I thought, well, my cry for my own children, my family, is I want to talk to them about Jesus. I've got to. But I found that it's just, in some cases, they were so deaf. When I saw this, I see now. It's got to be a visible thing. There's got to be something in me that emulates him. It can't just be hair and looks and clothes and language. I can't just talk so clean and pure. It can't be that. That's legalism. I can't walk so straight and so narrow. No, no, no. There's got to be something else. I realize what it is. It's this Christ growing in me, me choosing his way of life, authors me, and he begins to be the one that's showing up in this seed. So what came as a seed when I was 22 can become a full demonstration of the person. I didn't know that. Why would I choose that? For the world, yes, probably so. Here's why I chose it. I want you to see this. Let him serve me, he says. It's just a word for deacon. You know how it is. I was out here and Mr. Hine was talking to Pastor Nedred. He was saying, "We." I don't know what he's doing. He's always working. You ever find it? Oh, he's always doing something. We get him. He was talking about something that people got to see and show. And this morning he was out there talking. He's always working. You think he's talking. Well, he is talking. But he's talking about working, about getting something done. It's just simply as wherever you have find your place to serve, do it. Oh, gee. Something on the bed. I do it. I realize, oh, I see. So I'm not to just wherever I am at the grocery store. Just, hey, how you doing? Serve. Give my little brother came in here. This is serving. Hey, yo, give me five. Yeah, just make him feel welcome. Just serve. That's it. No pressure. I realize it liberated me. The dishes in the sink, take care of them. Just do it. Imagine what the world would want our resumes. To work. So Jay, you work because of the pay. No, I work because I'm his. And I get paid. Twice. They pay me and he pays me. No, here's the real thing. So this, here it is right here. And I'm through here pretty much. Where I am. I can't touch this word. It has six clear definitions. Where he's moving, where he abides, where he lives, where he eats, where it's everything about him present. That's where I want to be.
Right.
Where I am.
Yeah.
There. So, oh yeah, I was glad when I was thankful when he came and I believed. I was so thankful when I finally made the decision, you know what? I'm going to be a disciple. I'm not just going to read this and when our pastor speaks, I'm not just going to be listening and choose. Oh, no, no, I want to learn. I want to be a disciple. I hope you're glad that I'm here tonight because somewhere down there, I decide, you know what? I'm going to be a student. I could never teach this if I wasn't a student. First, I thought, no, I didn't even think I would ever do this. But when I realized, though, if I choose your way of life with Linda, my neighbor, my brother, my enemy, I'm choosing your way of living. How I understand that I'm choosing you, by that choice, you're going to cause me to be where you are. The truth, my brothers and sisters, is I separated this morning the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. There was a time when nobody could come here, no one. Men weren't allowed here. People looked up here, Jacob, Isaiah, Daniel, but nobody could come. He opened up a door, and I want to live my life here. This is the place I was born from. This is to be the place that sustains me. I want to wake up every day and leave my house from here. I'm a different man when I come from there. Or when he, where he's moving, I want to be. That's the promise. Now he goes on with a ridiculous thing, because I'm not living for this. Him, her, she, my father will honor. Wow. I'm not really looking for his honor, honestly. I appreciate when I get introduced and it's Dr. J, this, that, pats on the back, glad you're here. I'm thankful for that. I want to be a blessing to people. I need it. Believe it or not, though, encouragement is something we all need, even me. I do. I get criticized a bit, and, you know, Linda's really good at that. That wasn't that really that good, Jay, and I don't really want to. Last week I was doing something. What are you going to speak on? I don't even want to tell her. So I told her. She goes, really? That's the thing. And on the way to church, I'm thinking, huh, praise the Lord. I have the Well, as usual, it turns out to be the right thing. But I looked at her. She goes, well, I didn't think it was that good. Okay, hon. Inside myself, I'm thinking a whole other thing, as you would realize. Yeah. So tonight, I'm suggesting to us that maybe he wants to do something in the unveiling of him, in his body, in his church, in the world, but more so in us, in a way we have never, ever seen before. And maybe he's found a generation in the midst of a difficult moment, as he always does, in a difficult day. And when it seems that the darkness is getting grosser, could it be a time where he's intending to bring a great light?
Yeah.
He's been known to do it before.
Yeah.
I want us to choose. I think what's helped you, when I'm with the young people, this is personal, when I'm with the young people love Jay LaRue. I don't know why that is. Maybe I'm cool. I don't know. They do. The teenagers, the young people, they just can't wait. They want to sit in the front row on Sunday morning. I'm thinking, they make me nervous. They're like, come on, bring it. And I'm thinking, I got to have some energy to bring it for them. And I realized, you know what? I just want them to somehow look at me and not remember who I am or Dr. J, but somehow with my life, they'll be stimulated to not just be called a Christian, but to actually demonstrate what that is. In liberty, though. Not in some legal sense. We don't need that anymore. We don't need that anymore. Oh, I've got laws in my life, as you do. But not that way. And I'm believing that for generations are awakening and rising up. More is going on in our world than the news will ever let you know.
That's right. Yeah.
It's happening. Father, I just thank you for... Lord, this is this time with my brothers and sisters. It's just this beautiful moment in your life. Thank you for coming to this moment.
Yeah.
Thank you for giving your life. Without your life given, there would be no hope for us. Without your resurrection ascension, there would absolutely be no hope. So I'm asking tonight, Lord, whether us tonight here, this is never a demand. You didn't say this to anybody. You just said it openly. It's nobody's responsibility to wholly follow you. It's a choice. So maybe tonight, Lord, maybe some of us, maybe a few of us, maybe all of us will make a choice. I want to be conformed into your way of living, your likeness. That's what I want. And I want to be where you are.
Yeah.
Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. How about you giving the Lord a hand for me?
Amen.
Great. Beautiful. Look at that. 12 minutes. Well, 13 probably. So I want you to know that we're recording, right, my bro? Yeah, pretty close to that much time, about that, 21, 17 minutes, I lied. I don't mean to lie, but sometimes I can't help myself.
I know that.
Yes, yeah. This isn't a lie, though. You have to know that the Lord really, he pushed back against the enemy, and where there was an attempt to narrow your years and narrow your days, the Lord intervened to extend them out. The greatest days are yet to be lived, for the Lord will cause there to be a passion renewed for the prayer, the intercession. It is almost as if he's causing your womb to be virgin again, that you might bring forth the child, bring forth the tear, bring forth the cry, bring forth a new generation. Much as he did with Sarah, he caused her to be able to receive the seed. seed, not even what the seed would do. And so the Lord is causing your all of your spirit, that womb of spirit, to be renewed and refreshed, that he might plant fresh seeds, new seeds in it, that you might believe and they might germinate and live within you, and that you might cry their cry and bellow their bellow and shout their shout and declare their declaration and cause the Lord to move upon the earth. He always has a watchman set. He does everything through an intercession. Even now, there's a groaning in the earth and the Spirit of God in many of us, including me, groaning in here. I can't even explain it. Looking for the sons of God. That's what we're talking about there. Not just the Son of God, but the sons of God, our daughters as well. And my sister, you'll see the Lord begin to stir that up. And you're going to see, because of you two's willingness to serve here, serve the community for generations, the Lord is drawn near to cause the covenant to reach to the young ones that you love, to your own personal seed and their seed. And it just seems as though there's been a divide. As much as you try to build a bridge, you try to make it pretty, you try to make it with steps, you try to make it better, you try to make it flatter, you try to make it this way. Any way that they could come, you've adjusted every possible way. But it was the Lord, just, if you don't mind me saying it, just delaying some things that he might be fully glorified in the work. So you'll see the Lord even cause you to begin to believe freshly for them in a new way, in a new fashion. There was a time in my own personal life that it was an, oh God, my kids, something changes. And pretty soon it's like, oh God, my kids, something happens where the strength of God overtakes us, me, you, to begin to believe, and faith is applied in a way it never has. He understands that. He's not disappointed with my travailing cry, my wail, my prayer and almost doubt for certain of my own family. But only the Lord can come and renew it, as he did with Abraham and Sarah. It was impossible, could not happen. Everything opposed it. And there he established his kingdom, and there he established his promise. He will do the same for you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Yeah, appreciate that. Yeah. So you know, you have to know that the Lord, it wasn't a failure at the last place. It was just a time period. It wasn't a mistake. It was very much like Joseph was moved, as Jacob was moved to different places so that the Lord might do this work. And I've always, when the Lord, it just seemed like, well, that last thing must have been a failure. When I did that must have been a failure. No. Every one of them were processed. Though they may appear to have failed, they may appear to not be the right thing, the Lord uses the process. When I belong to him and we make a decision for him, he's the one that rules the walk. Our whole Bible is a declaration of that. How can it be righteous with Joseph? How can it be righteous with David? How can it be righteous with Samuel? How can it be righteous with Jacob? How can it be righteous with Abraham? Where's the righteousness of God? Where's the justice of God? Well, he's not always just, but he's right. Because he will work out his ultimate intention in ways we would not figure. It's known as the way of God. And so the Lord was apprehending you through all this process, from here to there and to these different places and to where he brought you and bringing you back. He brought you back at the time that was necessary, at the time that was right, so that you would be willing to become all that he declared. You've always been a stallion. You know that. Not so much a bucking bronco, but the Lord had to put the bit in there and get had to hold the reins of the young stud, the young stallion, so that he wouldn't run alone. He wouldn't run in his own way, because it's from the very beginning of your earliest days, it was a dream to lead. It was a dream to have a people. It was a dream to shepherd. It was a dream to fulfill the will of God. And it's been disappointing through the process. It's almost like, well, when will that day come? When will that be? And so you can lay that all to rest. You can relax, because the Lord will weave the shepherd's garment in his process of time. You weren't wrong. The shepherd's heart is real. The heart to lead a generation, the heart to be very much a Joshua, leading a forwarding time period, a crossing over it. Let's conquer all of that. It's all the things that the Lord has been building within you. It's all true. Timing was always going to be a key. And I wish I could tell you that I wait well. I don't. Not even now. I thought when I'm 95, I'll wait well, but I meet some 95-year-old people. They don't wait well either. It's just that patience is not in me. It's not a virtue. It's something that is earned. It becomes a part of me. It's better than it used to be, but it's not real good. And so all these things are being worked in here, and the Lord has taken his time with the generations that have been here to build a foundation in the house that he would bring you to and cause you to become one of the sons of the house, one that would apprehend the vision, the time period, the purpose, a young man that the Lord can put anywhere, a young man that the Lord can give him to anyone, a young man that the Lord will say, go here, stand here, stop here, run here, jump here, go this high, look at the mountain, look at the valley, who won't fear the mountain, won't fear the valley, all these things. I could just go on and on over in what the intent of the Lord is, but my brother, be assured that he's the one who carried you. You might have took a plane, you might have took a train, you might have said, I quit and I'm leaving to go over there, but all the while it was him doing it. It doesn't mean I've been early and I've been late, but ultimately he was the one that fulfilled the will. He was not going to allow me. He has a way of, he for some reason he can build a wall and he can open up a door. I don't know how he does it. Now I banged against the wall a long time to realize it was a wall, but I was willing to wait once I knew it was a wall. I kind of a surrender and all this is a process that the Lord has you in, but you really can take a deep breath for you and your family to know that the Lord has brought you and set you here that you might be a part of this people. Don't measure time. Don't measure distance. Don't measure hours, minutes, or years. Don't even measure decades. You don't have to go there. Trust him. He'll take care of it all.
Amen.
My brother and sister, you know, this happens to be a real covenant house, and so I'm not repeating things I've said to her or anyone else that's an older couple. It's not that at all. But I just want you to know that the Lord is really freshly establishing his covenant with you as a couple. Because there's a real intent of God to, I know you told me you have your son, we used to pastor here, was part of the youth, and your daughter was the Ruth girl this morning, your daughter-in-law is the Ruth girl this morning, all fun stuff. But he really wants to establish his covenant in a greater dimension with your seed and your seed seed and the seed seeds to come. He wants to do that. And so it hasn't been so much of a new thing, but there has been a real reviving in both of your spirits for the kingdom of God and for the work of God. It's been renewed. I think our world tries to deceive us that when somehow reason when my hair starts to get gray, it would be if I didn't shave it, and I get to a certain age, 65, I'm over that now. There's this constant thing. Well, when are you going to stop? When are you going to retire? And I have trouble with that though, because I know something about this kingdom. It's all about wine. It's all about influence. It's all about causing this beautiful kingdom, which is described as wine to come. And I know this one: the young wine's no good. Old wine's very good. So I don't really believe in all that. And so I'm seeing, certainly this is the word to you, the Lord revisiting those who once considered themselves, well, let's step aside, let's step back. No, 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 no. It's time to step up and step forward, because the Lord wants to renew. Even with you sitting across from this couple here, he's raising up an old guard to become a newer guard from the old guard. That's really happening in this place, that are willing to begin to love the young ones and to be fathers and mothers to the young ones. I don't tell the young ones what to do. It's not that way, but it's this living before them, this pumping up, this encouraging. It's very much the exhortation that Moses gave to Joshua in many ways. And so it's just beginning. But the prayer life and the cry for the two of you and to join each other to pray together and believe, lay hands on your own seed, but upon this church, upon the seeds of this church, upon what the Lord wants to do, all of this he's going to refresh in your life. You've always been a hard worker. You've always been a man committed to a task. Man, you're like, you know, you like him in a different way, though. You're more relaxed than him, but you're as taxed. You're as taxing to the task. You're after it like that, and so you've relaxed it a little bit, though. But there's a part of you that's in here going, you know what? I don't want to stop running the race. I want to be in the race. I want to make a difference. I don't want this Bible just to be a book that hangs around my house or something that I just kind of refer to. But I want to be a man of the Word, a man of the Kingdom of God, a man that represents the Kingdom of God. And my brother, there was a day once where you said, you know, Lord, I would like to see people healed. I would like to see it happen, but I'm me, and you know that. But I want you to know something, my brother. The Lord will begin to use you in healing and laying hands on people, and he's going to amaze you. That's what's cool about him right now. He's kind of there going, I'm going to show him. He's going to see that it isn't about who the person is, it's about what he believes. And my brother, the Lord wants to do it. You're going to see it in your own household. You have friends who have cancer. You have friends who are sick, bad backs, kidney issues, growths on their neck and their spine. You get them to your house. You lay hands upon them. The Lord will heal them.
Amen.
You guys are amazing and an incredible, valuable couple to this church, this house. My brothers, you're so excellent that I feel like I should tuck my shirt in and like stand upright and comb my hair, even though I don't have any. I just feel like I'm not clean enough to be around you. I'm just not. You know, you just got that kind of excellence. I don't know if I'll ever have that excellence. Yeah, I still drool sometimes. You would never drool, and you would never spill anything on your shirt ever. She never would. You would do it accidentally, and it'd be like a horrifying thing. I spill it all the time, and I just pick it up with my mouth and. You know, just, I know if I put powder on it later, it'll come off. But it is really this incredible excellence. And there is such, I'm going to say this very, with really weighed out in key words, though. The Lord is, as he's, it's like there's certain things that draw him. There's certain things he reacts to. But when they're out of a person's life, when there's an incense that comes up, it's like when you enter a room and there's this fragrance or flowers or spring. It just causes you to be, it just arouses you in a sense. It's almost like you're emotionally, you're affected by it. He's that way with you. Every time he comes over your life and he just inhales your lives before him, he's in awe, he's elated, he's joyed by your lives. And the Lord has always took care of you financially. It's always been that way. Yes, you were a good planner. Yes, you were a good worker. But the Lord commanded your seed to multiply over and over and over again. Even if the stock market crashed, your money would be safe. Your gems would be safe. Your gold and silver would be safe. Because that's how he's planned it. But there is coming a new faith within your lives to believe for the gold and silver to increase in this house. For the gold and silver and the precious metals to increase in this house. Now, that's natural finances, but that's also spiritual things, too. They're both there. And you have that, though. You've always been careful in how you were in a natural, in a financial way. And spirit, too. You and I, we probably would not might be friends if it wasn't for this, because I got this kind of thing going all the time, you know what I mean? And I got this wiriness, and I got to be in the race, and I got to be up at the front. I don't like to be two feet behind. You'd be more calculated. You say, well, if I get in the race, there's a hill up there, and if I measure the hill out right, I could never go on a trip with you because it would take us 3 weeks to prepare. Oh, it would be. Now, we would know where we're going different than me, but you'd be, okay, now we're going to go here, and at 11:30, you got to be here, and at 12 o'clock, I'd be like this. Oh, man, I can't do this. But that's the beauty of you and the lack of the beauty of me. That's all that is, yeah. So all this is excellence. I'm not making fun of you. This is the excellence here. Even me standing here, I'm challenged. You challenge my life for me to be more disciplined in areas of my life just because of the incredible discipline you have. I'm saying all this to let you know that the Lord is drawing near to cause there to be an awakening of the belief and faith you've had and the structured life you've had, that the Lord would begin to do this within his people. That not a legalism, but the Lord would bring a faith to believe, a discipline to sow. You know, if you don't sow and you don't till the ground, you don't sow, there's no reaping. But you've had the strength to sow. You've sown your own. You've sown financially and you've sown your lives here. I don't know where you are in the place with them, but no, even if you, it has been your presence, it's been your activity, it's been your commitment, it has been all of it, both of you, tremendous. The year sown in there. And so this is just the time the Lord is going to awaken it, arise, and there's just coming a faith for you to believe. I know you may not like this, but I'm going to say it anyways. It's a good thing. I'm going to say anyways, but you're going to see the Lord begin to visit you. Isaac sows in famine, redigs the wells that the Philistines blocked up of Abraham's and dug his own wells. And when the Lord is wanting to establish his covenant in a larger way, that's what happens. Mm-hmm. And you're going to see the Lord, you're going to feel a sense of, you know what, we need to sow bigger and larger and fresher. And we need to dig some of the old wells again, but we need to start digging some new wells. This is new methods of drinking because the Lord wants to affect the house. He's brought you here to bless you, but for to pour you out, that you would be a blessing to the entire house. And your seed, long after you're gone, will reap the benefits of this. They have no idea. Your kids have no idea who their parents are. No idea. You would never trumpet your own way, ever. They have no idea how valuable you guys are. I just saw some people, so I just got to get over. This back row has got all these studs and studuses. I just got to get back here for a few minutes. Okay, I'm watching. Okay. Yeah, I can't believe you're here. I was trying. You were sitting over there. I knew where you were. I was looking for you this morning. I couldn't get over there. I wanted to, but we ran out of time. Yeah. Now, and I know who you are now because I can't tell who's married to who in this place, honestly. They're all related somehow. It's like, I can't explain it, but it is, though. Yeah. So I was really going to start with your parents, really, and I could do both your parents. But I'm going to say it to you, but really it comes from both of your parents. My brother and my sister, especially my brother, listen, there's always been a kingdom that the Lord was going to build within their sons, no question about it. I know one of them better than I know the other ones. And when I saw you out there, when I came around the corner, I wasn't expecting to see you. I was expecting to see your brother. When I saw you, it was incredible. It was like all the heavens just nodded. And so I knew immediately it was just a beautiful thing seeing you out there, because you're going to see the Lord. And I've got to say this, though, because you've come from a very highly disciplined family, even with me not knowing your father by nature, but I know your father by the spiritual ways. Very disciplined, very on your back all the time, very up in your grill, no matter what. Sorry about that, Red. I like what you produced, though, very much so. And Ma always had the ointment, it's okay, boys, burp, and you'll be all right, you know. Go outside, everything will be fine. You know, so I have no qualms with the way I was raised. The Lord gave me my parents. It is what it is. I've got to believe, as you did with him, that it was right, good or bad or indifferent. Because he was establishing a kingdom within you guys, and I'm speaking to you only right now, that was a kingdom yet to be established in a generation. And this is really key, though, because the Lord was intending to set you in the world to be a man of business, all of the brothers, to be young men who rose up in ranks, young men who were almost excessively wanting to be ahead, almost to the point of greed, just like, hey, easy, pushing and driving, very much like the young David, very much like young Joshua. That's how he was. He wasn't afraid of anything, even though sometimes he really couldn't discern. Is that crime? Is that a party or is that war? He couldn't tell the difference, but there was something in him. He knew he was built to be a man who conquered. He knew it for sure. And my brother, you're going to see the Lord begin to mesh into your own natural abilities. It's going to be across, you're going to watch it go across your family, build into your natural abilities a new kingdom, a dimension of Christ. Even some of the things I shared this morning are going to be very, very key to it, though. You're going to see this understanding of the kingdom of God in a way where there wasn't blindness, but there was cataract. You just didn't have the peripheral. You understand sports. You couldn't see it out here. You can only see it here. And the Lord's going to open it up and cause to you to be able to see it from a different angle. I presented this morning a different viewpoint. That was really, yeah, to see it from another perspective, his perspective. And so you're going to begin to see all this happen. And my sister, you're not the only woman in this family who has it, but the Lord's given you to this man because of the incredible grace that you've had, the incredible mercy that you've carried, even though sometimes it's pushed a little bit, the incredible love that you've had for him and for the kingdom of God, and you're willing to wait upon the process of the Lord. You know your mother-in-law and your mother learned the same way, especially her. Nothing against you again. This is a great couple over here. I'm just saying it though. But you understand, I need to include them in my language to you, and I need to include them in the language to you. That's why this is so important, because it's a generational thing. It's beautiful, very much so. And so you're going to see the Lord begin to visit, and there's just going to be a change in dynamic. Because the Lord, he's going to bring a prosperity that your parents could never measure within to your life and into your brother's lives. It was to be that way. That was the plan. So there's not a problem with that, to the point where you want it. But what he's going to establish, though, is a new kingdom. You were to be a young man who grew up in his house, just as a young man, but eventually be a young man who stood in his house as a pillar, one day as a teaching elder, one day as a young man who would stand with the other young men and say, listen, the Lord has given us the land. Let us take it. Very much a Jacob, a Caleb, and a Joshua in their day. I mean, they wanted to stone Caleb because of those voices, but the Lord's already built that within you. It's already there, that there's nothing impossible with God, you'll say. But you know, though, there's a measure of God that he's going to bring to you. I know throughout my life there was time periods that the Lord was there. I knew what I had. I'm stronger in him now than I ever was. I believed I was strong then, but I looked back down and I realized it wasn't there. And you're going to see this continual increase of the Lord within your lives. And my sister, listen, you were, what a gift to him, to the family, to the church, to the people of God. You're very much like your dad and your mom together, which is amazing. Super smart, super eloquent, and the Lord will prosper you too in the world because you're to be out there. You have kids, I know that, and you maybe, but he wants to build a business model within your family, even if it's from your home. But the intent of God is to bring a wealth here that you will be able to give and give and give and give and give and give and dream for the house, dream for the place you want to live. But it's this place here is where the Lord has planted you. It's here he wants to build. It's here he wants to defy all the odds that he will do what he has declared he will do. And he's chosen the two of you to be a part of it. I mean, but 7 o'clock. You want to just go another couple minutes, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, just want to make sure. Yeah, we're good. He's the boss, you know. You know that, right? Yeah. Yeah, he is. He really is. Yeah, I got to really pick and choose here, so I hope you're all right with that. Yeah, so, you know, amazing. Sorry I didn't get there, but I want to. We'll have to see you. You going to be there tomorrow night? Nice beard, by the way. Little ZZ Top going back there. You don't know. You probably know who that is. Yeah, I love it, by the way. Yeah, I got a few hairs over here. That's getting. He can't grow a beard, so I know that. I can't. I got a little bit over here. That's it, right? Nothing to forget about. Okay, anyways, that has nothing to do with this, though. So which one is your wife?
None.
None of them.
No.
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 Oh, I know. I'm in the wrong state for that. Yeah, that's right. Okay, so they're all single. All right. Wow.
We're just best of friends.
Isn't that sweet?
Yeah, good word this morning, by the way.
Amen.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I love it. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, this changes a lot of things. Yeah. Not that I'm missing it, just how I would do it. So this is going to be good. So really, I just want to speak to you then, okay? The ladies, we'll see. Because I want to get over there. Is that your family right there? All right, I want to get over there in just about a minute, and I got to make it quick, though. All right. So my brother, listen, and it's probably for this day, I thought it was her, but anyhow, it doesn't matter. There's a real, and I could incorporate this entire line to the gal in the green, but the Lord is working dramatic change within your life. Dramatic change. That's why I was asking. Because he's really turning the winds. And when the Lord turns the winds, commands the winds to change, it's always a drastic change, a drastic moment. There's so many of the winds of God, I don't want to go through them all, but it is, though, where it's been still. That's the issue. The winds have been still. There's been nothing blowing, nothing going, nothing up, nothing down, nothing spring, nothing winter, just going. Just still. I hate still winds. What's a still wind? It's not wind, it's still. But it's in the Bible, so I use it. But it has been still, so you're going to see the Lord begin to cause the first that's going to blow is the west wind is going to begin to blow. It is the wind of covenant. And you're going to see the Lord begin to revive some covenant beliefs all the way back to your grandparents, especially on your mom's side, where there was a believing, where there was a hope, where there was a faith, where it's kind of diminished throughout the generations. Now here you are, and the Lord's revived the seed from that day, from there in you. And so you're going to see the Lord cause you to begin to believe once again for family, believe once again for seedlings, believe once again for the family that's been disunited, disturbed, destroyed, disunified, just pulled apart, just apart, very much like Ezekiel's valley. They just were bone, just everything was just scattered all over. But the Lord sent the winds into that valley, and what was once just nothing but deadness began to have a sound to it, and it began to come together. Of course, it became an army, but yours is going to become a family again, and you're going to see the Lord bring healing where healing could not be done before. I come from a broken family. I come from a family that was disturbed. If the Lord didn't enter into my life at the time he did to my family, I wouldn't have a family today. It would just be destroyed. My father's as well. And so I'm so thankful for what he did. But what he did was just the beginning. He intended to do greater than I could have believed. And my brother, I'm thankful to see you this morning. I'm glad you're here tonight. But you just do not know what the Lord intended to do the day you walked back to him. You didn't know the ability of his restoration. You didn't know the ability of his recovery. You just didn't know the ability. It's incredible to me. He is that prodigal's father just waiting for us to return. How does he do it? He doesn't set that son where he was. He increases what he has. Who does that? My son comes back, I got to hold a little punishment there because, you know, I'm supposed to. Oh, no, not this father. No. Punish? He doesn't even know what that word means. He is one that not only restores, refreshes, but he rebuilds, and he brings us back to where we could have been. He just restores everything you ever believed. So, my brother, this is a day to believe. Following the west wind will be a south wind. It'll come quickly. An east wind will follow that. I don't have to deal much with the east wind, but the Lord bring a south wind to revive you, but then he'll bring an east wind to begin to clean out some of the things that don't need to be there. The north and east wind blow through a garden to take away the things that cause the growth to be hindered. And so I used to despise the east wind, but it's necessary. And so he'll bring those winds. I know this is a lot for you to hear, and I'm saying a lot of things in just this little bit, but you'll see it. It's just amazing that he's the one who's command. It's been almost 15 years since the wind has blown really in your life in any real way, and you're going to see these next 15 years cause those 15 years to look like they was a minute. Wow. All right, just one more, Pastor. 7:06. I'm doing good, man. Jeez. I'm losing my breath here. I'm almost out of wind. How is it work here? This is, yeah. Your mom this year, she's beautiful. I mean, ridiculous. You know, I'd get all over you and hug you, but we're not that close yet. You know what I mean? If you're my granddaughter or niece, I'd be all hugging and kissing on your face, and it's very embarrassing, but maybe eventually at some point, but not now. But I just want you to know that's what I really want to do. So my brother, my sister, and this is your mom. Yeah. It's really incredible, you know. When Nehemiah comes up to the city of Jerusalem, when he looks, it's really just rubble. It's just a broken down city. It only has a past, a history. And it's distant when it was really something. But when he looks at it, he doesn't see that. He sees what it's to become. And you know, you guys made a decision in your life because you're both so strong. It's just not the Latino. It's not just that. You both are just very strong. And you both have come through your lives in not easy ways. Even though mom's here, your years growing up in mom's life was not easy. It hasn't been an easy way for mom. There's been a lot of conflict, not so much her. There's been a lot of despair, a lot of brokenness in mom's life. And you lived through much of that. And you've often wondered that, will I live the same way? And it's beautiful because, you know, your grandmother and your great-grandmother on mom's side are real people of prayer. Back in their own country, they believed, but they lived in real poverty, and they too had issues in marriage and the men's side of things. It was very difficult. Your mom knows and grew up in it, and so the Lord's reaching back all the way there, and he's begun the reconciliation back there, great-grandmother to mom, so that it would not enter into your life and it would not be in hers for sure. And my brother, it's been the same way with you. It hasn't been as bad though, but you had to fight your way out of things. My biggest battle was not my father's family were adulterers. They were dishonest. They were that kind of people. And I was just like my father, just like those men. And there would be no way I was not a good man in many ways. Even when I was dating Linda, before I got saved, salvation changed everything in Jay LaRue. But I remember those years. And so it's been that way. There's always been a conflict inside for you. And even when you guys came together, you loved each other, and it was your romance was, it still is, but you know, it was beautiful. But there was always the conflict of because you weren't sure, either one of you, how this would go. What would it be? You didn't want to repeat the past. You didn't, but you know, what do? We're who we are. But man, the Lord, when Nehemiah looked at that city, it appeared to have no hope in it, but he could see something no one else could. The Lord has peered into your lives, and he himself sees what it will be, not can be, not supposed to be, but will be. And so this is the beginning of the restoration and the rebuilding of your lives. My sister, you will not see what has been in the lineage side. Even on the men's side, they won't follow him. The Lord has brought an axe to that root. Even though you got the fire sometimes, and you know, my wife's the same way, she got that time, but if I push her a little bit, or she'll come out swinging. Oh yeah, you can do it, boy. He's not going to win an argument, that's for sure. Yeah, it's just, yes, and true. Yeah, once in a while, Mama lets him win, but that's it, though, yeah. No, I'm just teasing on that. But this is really, he's looking at my brother the same way, though. He's just axing the roots of your people. Not that there's anything with Mom, but especially what you've gone through. And even with Mom being here, this is a restoration. This young lady will grow up, and there'll be stories, fairy tales, fiction to her. If you even tell her a story of how it was, how you grew up, and what you saw and what you witnessed. Because the Lord is building and rebuilding this house. And Liz, Ma, do you understand my English okay? Okay, you're going to see this. The Lord just caused her to be refreshing to come to your life. Even a new hope, a new belief. I'm going to say it this way. Even a new family. Just this major restoration of your life. And you lived so many years without, just without. You're going to see the Lord is gradually recovering those things. And over these next days, especially the next 5 years, you're going to watch and see with incredible miraculousness, the Lord restore some family and restore some things in your life that were just taken and stolen in some things you had no power to control. You're just going to watch the Lord return them back to your lives. And my sister, my brother, this is a good day to believe him. You're not just here sitting because church is the right thing. You've really made a decision for him. And God has come to honor it in your lives. Amen. Thank you.